Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Little Things or Big Things podcast. Coming up on this week's episode and this week, it's Never Give Up on a Student Week. And I've got a connection activity with you that is an absolute must. Sometimes we think about all these little things and it's almost like, wait, doesn't everybody do that? But we got to have this conversation to remind you to always make sure that you are publicly praising your students and getting that positive behavior reinforced. And then anytime you do need to make corrections and criticize, you do that in a very private way, have that heart to heart, and be vulnerable with them. So let's get to this week's connection activity.
Absolutely.
All right, so this week's connection activity, I'm going to call it the hallway conversation. And like I said, we're going to get into the importance of always making sure we celebrate our students for the things we want them doing. And I think we know this. We've heard this in PDs before. Like, we know that you're supposed to always reinforce positive behavior, right? And so when you catch them doing good, right, like, make sure you reward that with public praise, with points, with disco ball lights, like whatever your phrase is, that's like, yes, that's what we want. And then, you know, inevitably something's going to happen, whether it was at the middle school level and I had kids that just had their hormones go bonkers and they like shoved another kid over a desk, or it's my high school kids that drop an F-bomb randomly because they're having a conversation with their headphones on and don't realize they're actually yelling. So, you know, got to have that conversation, be like, like, John, hallway, please, you know, or, you know, Sarah, like, hallway, please, let's go have a conversation. You know, the other times that sometimes maybe this happens is you see somebody who's consistently missing work, or they're so far behind, or they've started to give up on themselves. And maybe I haven't caught it early enough. And so it starts to show up in behavior patterns in my classroom. And so that can be a good time for me not to have that conversation in front of other students, but like, hey, can you head in the hallway real quick? I just want to have a quick conversation with you. And so for me, the first part of this connection activity is being very aware of the classroom and how they almost react to the situation, so that it's not an embarrassing moment ever. Like, that's like, if it's an embarrassing removal from the classroom, no matter what conversation I have in the hall, it's not going to be effective.
And I think one of the reasons I was so glad that you decided to talk about this, right, because we talked about, like, is this too much, is this too obvious for us to talk about, but it's also so important, because the other thing that can happen, right, is if that conversation is happening in front of the rest of the class, it's a much different conversation than the one that happens in the hallway, right? Because the student is feeling defensive and you're feeling like you have to be in control, and there's all these different emotional factors that come into it. So yeah, I just think, I would hope that most people are doing the things that you're talking about, and it's just a good reminder to that this is how these things need to happen in private.
Well, and I mean, and I will say that when I even like reflect on my first year, I do remember the power struggle and feeling like I had to, like, oh my gosh, like, you can't flex on me. Like, I'm the teacher. And it's like, no, you're a 14-year-old child and you don't care if you try to like embarrass me in front of everybody else. And so like my ego's hurt, and then there's this awkward vibe, and like, you know, and it took like weeks to repair that, you know, and like go back and remind the kid, no, like, hey, you know, I'm sorry. And we'll talk about this later too, right? The power of I'm sorry, of not giving up on a kid. But like, that was way more difficult than being very conscious of having that conversation quietly, having a very safe and appropriate removal from class for a brief moment to go have a heart-to-heart conversation. So for me, step one, super important, is making sure that if there's a behavior, a language issue, an effort issue, whatever it is that needs to be corrected, I'm like, hey, hallway, please, you know, and it's not a big deal. I always make sure that they go out and I continue teaching like nothing happened. Like, it's just another moment, right? Like, I remember in challenge day, we were always taught this idea of nothing is a surprise, right? Like, just act like you've seen it all, and the students react to your energy and they're like, oh, This happens all the time. Okay, we're going to keep working. You know, like no joke. I had a seizure, grand mal seizure in the middle of one of our like heightened parts of challenge day. We're trying to get everybody really excited about being empowered and going and creating change. Kid like shakes, hits the floor, like best friends are diving on the floor. And we're like trying to make sure that everything's taken care of medically and then continue as if, all right, everybody pick up your chairs and move, you know, and like this whole thing happens. Like, yeah, no big deal. Like, this, it happens. Let's just continue our day, you know, and make sure everything's taken care of. But I think that was a very good experience for me coming back into the classroom these last 2 years of being like, no, whatever chaos happened that required a hallway, please just, they went to the hall. I'm going to keep my class going, get them set up on something. All right, please work on this, this, and this. I'll be right back. And then I go out in the hall, door shut. It's a very quiet, very calm conversation with the student. Usually my first question is, hey, what's going on? Because I have no idea what triggered this. I would say 9 times out of 10, usually the kid is very apologetic, like immediately. They're like, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to drop the F-bomb or, you know, like there's something else going on. I was just frustrated. I didn't really mean to push him that hard, you know, like, or, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't get my homework done. Like there's whatever is going on in their life, they share with you for a brief moment. You know, I'll get it done later, you know, and can I have an extension, whatever it is, right? Depending on the situation. But 9 times out of 10, it's very apologetic. You hear whatever's actually going on in their life. You're like, okay, hey, I get it. You know, how can we correct this? What would be a good next step? Let's put a little bit of a plan of action together. Okay, awesome. Are you good to come back in class right now? Okay, awesome. I'm going to let you go in first. I'm going to come right in behind you. I want you to jump back in, get engaged. I'm going to call on you here shortly because I want you back in with us as if nothing's ever happened. They're like, okay, cool. Gotcha. And so usually if the student's in a good space, and again, 9 times out of 10, they are, they're going to go back in. Usually, you know, a couple of their friends are throwing them glances. And so they get back to their class. I'm right behind them and I start teaching immediately as if I never left the class. Student sits down, they get out their stuff, they get back on track with us. And immediately I get to a spot where whatever follow-up activity I was doing, we shared with the student in the hall. I'm like, hey, like we're working on two-step equations. You know, did you do this problem yet? No. Okay. Do you know how to do this? Maybe we talk through it and I almost prime them for a good answer. And again, I'm like, hey, you know, John, can you help us with this one? Like, yeah, I think I would do this, right? And so they immediately get on and it's like diffused everything. Mm-hmm. And we're good. Now that 1 out of 10 times, right? Like there's something going on and it's either beef between these two students and it's been escalating for months. It's, you know, a tragedy in the family and this kid needs additional support and has not had anyone reach out to them yet. I can't focus at home. It's I'm working, it's I'm taking care of my siblings. It's, you know, whatever is going on that has escalated over a period of time. And I haven't done a great job of catching it early and it's boiled over. Mm-hmm. And so usually I try to own it. Like it was my fault that it got to that point. For me, that, I think it's part of my personality. I've been doing a lot of like research on like personality types and Enneagrams and, you know, like Myers-Briggs, all that stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, like my personality is to avoid pain at all costs. So like that's my tendency. And so I think that plays into that decision. So I'm not saying that's the only way to do it. But for my personality, I usually take 100% ownership of like, yo, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't even know that was going on. Like, I should have caught that earlier. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now that we know what's going on, how can I best support you in this moment? Okay, let's have that conversation. Let's have a heart to heart. Let's have vulnerability. If it's something I can relate to, I try to share my experience and how I've overcome it, how I've survived it, how I've gotten through it. If it's something I can't relate to, I'm like, yo, I can't even imagine what you're going through. Do you have someone that you can talk to about it? Like, can I connect you with a counselor? Can I connect you with, you know, the school psychologist, like whatever the situation might involve, and just try to bridge. And I'm like, okay, are you good in this moment? Or do you need to like walk around halls for a quick moment? Do you need to hit the restroom, kind of like shake yourself off and come back neutral? And you know, a lot of times a quick walk down the hall or going to the bathroom, whatever. I'm like, okay, you got 3 minutes. I expect you back in class. I'm going to check back in with you again privately when you do show up, just to make sure you're okay. And we're going to get back to work. And so usually at that point, I'll come right back in the classroom. I'll start teaching immediately as if nothing ever happened. Students usually are looking around like, where are they? And I don't, you know, I'm like, they're good. And I keep going. And then, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes later, whatever, they'll show back up. Very, very rare do they not come back at that point. If I've had like a good connection in the hallway, we've built that trust. I know they're coming back. Every once in a while, like 1 out of 100, maybe, like I've got to call the office and say, hey, so-and-so's in the hall. I think they're good. Can you just go check on them? And they might have to get a little extra assistance coming back. But
so that gets into one of my first questions hearing you talk about this. I mean, like I said, right, this is something I think we should all be doing. So this is something I do, but it's always interesting. In a way, it's almost better to have these conversations when it's something that we're both doing, because there's like all these little nuances of like, oh, that's a different way than I do that. I wonder why you do that. So one of the things that cropped up for me immediately was you said that you're always the second one back in the room unless obviously they need that extra time. What is your rationale for wanting to be the second one back in the room?
I think my two main reasons for doing that is, one, I want the student to feel like they're the one in charge of ending this conversation and they're the one to leave it and re-engage to the classroom first. Okay. Like they're the one making the choice and they don't have to follow me, but they're the one going. Mm-hmm. And two, I think it's just my way of like always making sure like I've got my room back intact. Right. Like I'm closing the door. I know that I'm the one in, like in our building, we have to keep our doors locked as part of like our gun safety protocol and things like that. So I think my two biggest though is I want the student to be the one who makes the decision to enter the room. And two, I'm kind of like, I'm closing the situation up.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Are there, I kind of interrupted you there. Are there other parts of how you do this that you want to make sure that you get to before I start hammering away with you?
Yeah. The final piece of like, if it did take a little bit for the student to come back in, like I said, I'm already teaching at this point. 3, 4 minutes later, they come in. I get us into the next activity and I'm like, okay, we'll try this one on your own. And then I go and circulate the room and I don't go straight to the student, but I usually will circulate somewhere else. And then I'll strategically take a squat next to the student, you know, check in. Hey, how are you doing on this problem? All right. Are we good? Okay. Awesome. I'm glad you're back. Thank you. Let's knock it out. And then we're back. So that's all I wanted to share with my connection activity this week and hallway conversations. I just like you and I were saying as we were even having this conversation about like making this the connection piece. Like, wait, not everybody's doing that. And I'm like, I don't know if everybody is. And if everybody who's listening already does this, thank you. Like, bravo. And if not, or if you know one of your colleagues that's not doing this, share with them some ideas of what you do to help connect with those kids and do the criticizing in very private situations. So you're not embarrassing a student. That to me, the fastest way to wreck any connection with a student is to embarrass them.
Absolutely. Or to embarrass their friend, right? Like they're so close with their friends. You can make not an enemy, right? But you can cause harm in a relationship that you have particularly with a teenage student, if you have done something that is harming your relationship with someone that they're close with, right? Because now there's a sense of that shared kind of resistance thing. I think the other thing that's really good about having this conversation, like I said, is hopefully most teachers are doing this. I think it's fairly common practice in every building I've been in the last 5 or 6 years. It wasn't common when we first started out 10 years ago. It was fairly uncommon. I mean, it was something that I learned before I became a teacher. I don't remember who taught it to me. It could have been my mentor teacher. I don't think it was something that they actively taught us at the UW, but it just made sense to me immediately. So it's how I've always done things. I know it's become more popular, but even within that, right, like sharing ideas on how to be successful with it and make it better is still a valuable thing. So one of my questions for you, this is one of the things I always struggle with. You had the great example, particularly for the middle school, right? The one kid pushes the other one and somebody falls down. When and how do you make the decision on, I'm going to send both kids out into the hallway or I'm only going to send one? How do you decide which one you want to send out there?
Depends on how serious I think that push is, right? I've had the wonderful opportunity of working in a very soft junior high where a kid pushes a kid and the fight's already over. And I've also had the opportunity to be in a school where the kids weren't allowed to have passing periods altogether because there were too many real hardcore fights.
Yeah.
And so I've had situations where it was like legit, like going for blood type fights. And I will pick one that is more, I already have the connection with, and I get them out because I know they'll listen to me. I know they'll respect me, and I know eventually I'll be able to repair that. And then smart. I can keep this student here in the classroom and get additional support while my students are calling the principal or security, whoever needs it, if it's escalated to that point. And so usually I use my current standing with a student as my guide of, okay, I trust you, get out of my classroom, I'll deal with you.
So, that's really smart. So that leads me to one of my other questions for you. And this is one that I go back and forth on the right way to do this. What's your timing for going out there, right? Like you've said, like, hey, hallway, please. Are you out the door immediately? Are you waiting until there's a natural break in the lesson where you don't need to be kind of on stage at that moment? Or how do you, like, what's your kind of default process for when you go out there to have that follow-up?
I'd say 30 seconds to 3 minutes, rough ballpark. Usually I try to go faster. Like I said, a lot of times when I have these issues, it's early in the day because the rambunctiousness has not settled into from whatever came into my room has not quite settled in yet. And so like, I'm thinking like something that happened this week. It was sixth period. I had kids coming in that were a little bit rambunctious. They were bouncing off the wall a bit. First kid just drops the F-bomb in casual conversation. And so I'm like, you know, hey, John, outside. And he's like, oh, okay. And so like he goes out, you know, I get the warm up going. I get the kids to kind of be working on something. I have the quick conversation. I get John back inside. As I'm bringing John in, next student's like, you know, this is just stupid S, right? And I'm like, Austin, hallway. And he's like, oh. You know? And like at that point, it's one of those where, again, because I had that rapport with the students, something had already happened. I bring him back in. I'm like, are you serious? And like immediately he's like, ah, you know, and it's not an embarrassing thing, but it's like, and I go out and I have the conversation. He's like, you're right. I don't even know why I said it. I was like, cause you weren't thinking, right? And he's like, yeah.
I love how all these are kind of like, leading into one another. You're creating some natural segues for my question. So then that leads to me to maybe my second to last one, unless something else you say brings up another piece of curiosity, which is like, how do you start this with your students? Is like, what's the pre-teaching that you do to let the students know that this is a process that you use? Because this is something that I have become more and more intentional about over time. I think partially because as I've been in the classroom longer, right, kids have, the circumstances around our students have changed. And they want, like we keep talking about, kids want to know why. And so like letting them know the why, because like when I first started doing this, kids were so happy that they weren't being put on blast that they didn't resist like the invitation to go to the hallway and take a breath. Like they actually like the simple fact that I didn't just put them on blast in front of everybody,
right,
was like enough of a thank you that they didn't like need the explanation in advance. But now for whatever reason, right, like just a couple of years ago, I had an experience where I hadn't told the kids that this was part of the discipline process in my room. And like the first few times I told a kid to go to the hallway, they like freaked out on me. And I was right. Like, what is going on here? And so I've slowly over time, like this is one of my, not day one, but like in the first week of school, we're going to talk about this process and why I do it this way and what it looks like to kind of normalize it for everybody.
Right.
And what that's led to that I really like is we've kind of come up with at my school the last 2 years, like I don't even have to say go to the hallway, please. I just have like this look, which, you know, over time I developed with students anyways. Like I would just kind of look at them and be like, kind of like, are you serious face? And right. I would like just get up and leave without me saying anything. Just like, what are you doing? Like, and there was like a little open arm and kind of look at them just like, you can't be serious. And kids would pick up on that. But now like it's to the point where last year, I remember like with my ninth graders, we talked about like part of our classroom agreements was like they came up for me. It's almost like, you know, for a no huddle offense, right? What are the signals that we're going to use? Like the kids were like, we want there to be a nonverbal signal that you're going to give us to let us know that you need us to to go take a break. And right. So we just came up with, and it was different. Like one class, it was like the hang loose signal. You know, we just kind of look at a kid and just go like that, and they would go out. So I'm wondering what your process has been or how it's evolved.
Most of the time, my classroom management starts with the conversation of this is our classroom. As soon as I said it, I was like, crap, I got to correct myself. So I'm going to use this as a moment to correct myself earlier. I was like, get out of my class. I try not to say that because it goes back into that like power struggle issue.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And so I do try to make sure I have those conversations with the students of like, this is our classroom. Like we need to respect each other's learning opportunities, these kinds of things. And if we can't respect each other's learning opportunities, we got to shift up the space and we're going to have a temporary removal. And so that conversation sometimes is had. Usually the first time I actually remove somebody, there is a little bit of a like, oh, he actually did it, you know? and then, you know, from there on out, it's normal. But, yeah. And the other one I was going to share too, this is more at the high school level and people might give me a bad time for this, but I always tell my students that, my classroom is a PG-13 classroom, which means you can drop the F bomb once. And I remember this from the old John Travolta movie, Be Cool. It was like the movie like about making a movie. And he was like pissed off about all the different like ratings and like how it goes from like PG-13 to R. He's like, you can only say like certain words, like blah, blah, blah. He's like, the F word you can only drop once. So this is effed up. Right. And he just drops it right there in a PG-13 movie. Very obviously like calling it out. I thought it was hilarious. For whatever reason, it stuck with me. Right. And so I share that with my students. And so honestly, the first time an F bomb gets dropped in my class, usually every student looks to me to see what's going to happen. Right. And so I look right back at the student who said it and he's waiting, or she sometimes is waiting to see like, what am I going to do about it? And I look right at him. I was like, you're lucky. This is a PG-13 classroom. You get to drop the F bomb once. Happens again.
Wait a second. Huh? Is that once per student or is it once for the class?
Once for the class. And so if somebody in my class drops it, anybody else who says it from that point forward, you're going out. And it resets daily. I tell them it resets daily because you know, who knows what's going to happen, right? I mean, I've got a lot of flexibility. Not every teacher is going to be okay with that. It's part of my connection with the kids. I don't drop the F-bomb, but I get that it's going to happen every once in a while. And when it does, I'm like, that was our one. Focus. You know,
that's a really great metaphor. Another one that I've heard is like, I think it was my mentor teacher used to talk about like, you know, $100 word, like, you know, mm-hmm. like these words are meant to connote like passion and emotion. So let's use them thoughtfully, right? Like if you're really angry, like an F-bomb is appropriate, but if you're just annoyed that your hand slipped off the page when you were trying to draw something, like let's maybe say, dang it, instead of dropping the F-bomb.
Right.
And I do think, right, like part of the thing like around language has evolved over time for me too, because like first 2 years teaching, particularly because I was mostly in a middle school, like very low tolerance, right? Like I would kind of like understand that there are times when it's going to happen and be open to that, but like really cut it off. And nowadays, I just feel like kids are so immune to it that I try not to make a big deal out of it. And then I just give them the tools. Like we kind of tried to make a joke out of it. Like we'll try and say, "Aw, shucks," or "gold dang it," or kind of like, you know, like come up with some like 1950s, like goofy way of saying things that we can agree is like a funny way to also diffuse the tension when you're that upset. But
right. That's awesome. I love that. I want to finish with this. I mean, you and I both do this. What are things that maybe I didn't speak to that are like your favorite go-tos or have been successful for you in building the connections when you get them in the hallway? Like what would you change, add? What's been successful?
I think the only major difference between what you and I do is the being first in situation. Like what I'll do when I have a kid go out into the hallway is and I'll give them the look or give them the signal or whatever. They go out there and I'll go out and we'll talk about whatever. I do generally wait quite a while. We're gonna talk when I've reached a place where it's okay for me to not be in front of the classroom. Now that's easy for me because my classroom isn't I'm not on stage for most of class, right? It's very rare that like I'm up on stage for more than like 5 minutes at a crack. And it's rare that I'm doing that for more than two or three times a class period. So, cause I really, you know, it's like, here's the instructions, get some work done kind of thing. So, that's what I'll go out there. We'll have the conversation depending on what happened. You know, like if they're still kind of emotional about things, we're feeling keyed up, I'll just tell them like, hey, you can come back in whenever you want, right? So if you need a couple more minutes, you're welcome to sit here on in the hallway and take a breath, do what you need to, go to the bathroom. We have a pretty open policy about bathroom usage at our school. And then I'll just go back into the room and they just kind of re-enter whenever. And I just kind of almost try to pretend like they were just coming back from the bathroom or something like that. And like, it wasn't, wasn't a big deal. And then the other thing that has become something I'm more cognizant of, and I haven't by any means reached a place where I feel like I want to tell other people how to do this. I don't think I'm there yet in my practice. And that is restorative justice and being aware that sometimes the thing that happened that caused the kid to go out to the hallway, because it's a tier one intervention, is to just go out in the hallway and have that conversation. Sometimes what was said was something we're done is something that the whole class needs to have like a conversation about so that we can move forward together. Right. Cause it's important to remember that yes, it is our class. So it's not just me trying to regain control of the space, but it's also trying to be cognizant of the fact that like maybe what that kid said had a negative impact on this student or on a group of students based on maybe it was a form of like hate speech that wasn't even intentional or sometimes is intentional, unfortunately. Right. Right. There has to be a different follow-up to that that involves sometimes the whole class. And so I'm still learning how to do that, but that's an addition to this practice that I'm working on is like sometimes letting the kid know in the hallway, like, hey, we're good for now, but I'm going to let you know at some point we're going to have to do a restorative justice circle where you're going to have to do an apology. Like, we're done for now, but we are going to have to revisit this because like there was harm created. Right. Like, you can't say that and expect people not to be looking at you or thinking about you differently now.
Right. I'm so glad you added that. Yeah. And I, that also reminds me, cause you asked like, when do I get students, who do I choose to go out in the hall? And there are moments where I'll end up eventually being able to get both in the hall to have a quick, you know, conversation between them to actually like heal space if it needs to happen. So, but yeah, even on like the whole class side, I love that. So awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you adding that. And, thanks everybody for joining us for our connection activity. Make sure you're celebrating your kids, getting that positive behavior. And when needed, go have those private conversations.
Do it quietly.
All right, see y'all on Thursday.
Make it a great day.